Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you this morning. I just ask that Holy Spirit come, just expand the repertory in us, and just ask that you breathe life into us this morning. Show us what you want to show us this morning through the scriptures, through the worship, and through our prayer time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. So this morning, I'm going to go through Psalm 20. Okay, and just to give you some background, Psalm, you know, a lot of time we look at it, it's like a hymn. It looks like a hymn book. It's like people sing, worship, and using that as a hymn book. And they have multifunction. Sometimes you use it for personal purposes. You have personal lament, you have, in distress, you call out to God, you express your feeling. It's a very interesting, you know, it's a compilation of worship. And today, this morning, Psalm 20 actually is not an individual psalm. It's a corporate psalm. It's a worship, or it's a celebration. It's a poem that is being uttered or as called out during a festival time. Why do I say that? Because if we look at the text itself, you will notice the use of different pronouns at different places. Let's go through it quickly. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from the Zion. May he remember all your sacrifice and accept your burnt offering. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans secure. We will shout for the joy when you are in victories. And I'm reading from NIV, not the same, different versions from what you're having now. And we'll lift up our banner in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. And verse 6, now I know that the Lord saved his anointed. He answered him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fell, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. If you look at this passage, you will notice that verse 6, there's a change of pronouns. Obviously, this is not just one-way direction. It's an interaction. There's a lot of action happening in this psalm. And things are happening in a community of faith. I want to highlight today is like a lot of time, we go to church and we hear comments, you know, this is ritual, this is too Catholic, no good, and we don't want that because it's just a form. I want to invite us to go back before the form exists. There is a purpose why there is ritual. If you look at the Bible, throughout the Bible, Exodus, Leviticus, all these have certain ritual in it. And it is there for a reason. And our God is an orderly God. So let us see beyond the ritual. Not just saying because it looked Catholic or it looked, you know, ritual, lifeless, and we cut it all off. Let's see beyond it. Let's see there is meaning behind it. Why they do certain things at a certain way. And why, you know, this book of Psalms have such a varieties of songs in it. And there are songs that are being, you know, involving the community. God, you know, or make people. A lot of time we, you know, sometimes like not so good thing happen in the church, you're disappointed with other Christians, it's like, yeah, forget about this community. I want my own personal relationship with God. And this is my relationship with God, and that's it. A lot of time our individualism kick in, and we forgot that God created not just one person, but he created community. When Jesus came and he, through his disciple, church being established, talking about community of faith, talking about how we live out that community of faith. And Psalm 20 this morning, I highlight is that let's see beyond the ritual. Let's see beyond the form and go to the substance. What God really wants to teach us as a community and how to live out that community life. And obviously, here you can identify different characters in this particular psalm is that there is a priest. He is doing blessing. From verse 1 to verse 6, you see it's a blessing. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May he send you help. So it's like a blessing prayer. Someone is standing in the gap. Someone is taking the authority that God given him, having that prophetic revelation from God, that this, in a many way, when we bless people, there's an element of faith. When we utter to bless, we expect God will answer. God will, through you, using us as an instrument to execute his promise, execute the plan that he has in certain people, the people that he wants us to bless through to those others. So verse 1 to 6 is talking about a priest standing here blessing. May he bless the congregations. And at a certain point of time, if we serve the Lord, a lot of time when we go on mission trip or we do ministry, a lot of time you hear comments like, I feel I'm the one who blessed the first. Yes, because through being the vessel for God, being the instrument for God, we experience the compassion of God, the power of God, things that being promised, being fulfilled, we have encouragement. God is walking together with us. And at a certain point of time, we have our own revelation from God, directly from God. And in verse 6, it says, now I know the Lord saved his anointed. He answered him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his heart, with his right hand. Here we can see that, you know, yes, we bless other people. We, through the prayer of blessing, we help other people be a blessing to others. But at the same time, don't forget us also connected with God. And this is all happening in the community. I would say even in the time of worship, on a Sunday service, this should be happening too. It's like when someone here in a public blessing, priest standing in the gap, blessing the people. And then we look in the next verse. It's like, some trust in the chariot and some in the horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Suddenly, you can see here, that's the answering back. It's not just the priest one way giving a message, blessing other people, but a community of faith come up and in response, because they are being touched by God because of the convictions they have for the Lord. He is the saving King, and they acknowledge. And it's an interaction. A lot of time, sometimes I do like the olden ritual, like the Catholic, where people answering back. Yes, I know it's so mechanical. It's like, may the peace of God be with you, and then the congregation answers something back. It's so ritual and so sad. But then if you talk to people, actually people like it, because they can respond to what's the message being spoke about, instead of like a lecture hall, you know, even now, I mean, I'm speaking to you, and it's like, oh, you're taking in. But also, at some point of time, we do have to respond to the message of God. We do have to respond as a faith community, making that declaration that, yes, we trust you, Lord. And it's not just one person in the seat and saying, yes, we trust you. But it's the whole congregation coming together and saying, yes, we trust you. And if you, as I read, you know, this book of Psalm 20, as I read it more and more, I realize there's a lot of things happening here. It's like not just one way, and the community coming in, and it's like the whole movement, as the word that being used, is like putting into a climate. Like, some trust in, you know, on the chariot and horses, but no, we trust the one saving God. And make this declaration, and it's really heightening up that particular point of time. And this psalm is, a lot of people look at it, and a scholar look at it, it's being used maybe most likely in the festival time or before they go to war. Why do I say it before they go to war? If you look at it, it talks about the banner. Talking about war, these are the key words sometimes you see in the Bible. It talk about victory, talk about chariots, horses. These are the things that being you in the wartime. So this psalm is being, it's like a blessing ceremony before they go off to the war. And the priest stand in the gap and bless the people, raise up the congregation together and bless the people going to the war. Today I pick the versions, NIV version, and not the NASB version, is because the last bit, the translation is slightly different. Sometimes when you look at different book of translations, people, the scholar take a different stand, because sometimes it's not so clear in the text. It could go either way, but If I may, I refer you to, you know, the one that you have on your hand. It says, "Say, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day of day we call." But on the, you know, NIV version here, it says, "O Lord, save the King and answer us when we call." So if we put in the perspective, I like this perspective better. And I, in a way, it is that it's a structure that is that whole community going into, it matched with the war pictures, that the King going off to fight the battle and is blessing and ask the congregation and ask God directly and bless our King and may God save the King. That's the position that seems to be the position that I think is more adhere to the text. And beside this point, that is that I want to say is that the faith element that is being uttered here is that it's just, as I say, it's not a personal faith. It's a community coming together and seeing, witnessing that God is the salvation. And I, sometimes when we read the text and say, we go through it, the ritual, the motion, and looking through it. And if we really look into the passage, a lot of time, how do I put it, is that it is also a literature. And sometimes the message, using it in such a way to highlight certain, they want, like the whole passage is relevant, but there's certain message they want to highlight to it. And they're using different devices to tell you about faith, to tell you the message they want to show you about, like express in the passage. And here it's talking about the faithfulness of God. If you look at like a couple things that devices people look at when they do Bible study, and they look at like repeated word, obviously. And I want to highlight to you today the repeated word is the answer. If we look at the verse 1, it says, "He answer you when you're in distress." And then you go to, you know, go to verse 6, "He answer him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand." And towards the end, the last verses, it talk about answer us when we call. So it's like, you know, it start with the beginning with the answer, end with the answer. And in the middle, suddenly there's a change of direction. It seems like we're cutting into three different chunks. One is the blessing prayer from the priest. The second chunk is the personal revelation of the priest, or maybe by the King himself, say, realizing, God, you are the one with the saving power. You are the one who saved me, who delivered me. And then towards the end, that confession again by the congregation is, God, we trust you. You will save the King, and you will answer when we call. And when I was in seminary, we actually have to use the original text. So we actually have to do the translation. So we look at each word and then look at which word positions. And sometimes you will look at, after you do the translation and doing all this, you look at the odd thing out. Things that happen in the text that is not quite the same way it was supposed to go together. So if we take the first chunk, verse 1 to verse 6, let me go through quickly. So if you look at the first chunk, it's like, "May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you." That's one set. "And he may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion." You can see this sort of like the next one is, "When he give you desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." It is, if you look at the next two stanza, we so-called stanza, it's in a format, you know, that may send support from somewhere, and then support from Zion. And the next one is that, you know, your burnt offering or your sacrifice will be remembered by God and accepted by the desire. And suddenly, if you look at like the whole thing in the chunk, the first two stand out. That I want to say here, sometimes we do all these like exercise, you know, to try to find out, is there a particular message God wants to give? Is sometimes look at the odd pattern being standing out. The odd pattern being standing out is, it does, the first verse actually doesn't have the same structures at the verse 2 and verse 3. And obviously the author here wants to emphasize God answer prayer. He wants to make it stand out and say God answer. And having that behind all this is talking about God answer. What does it mean? It's the faithfulness of God when we call out. And we simply looking at the three most, like I highlighted that three verses, it's talking about that when we are in distress, He answers us. The last verse, when we call out, He answers us. How He's going to save us, how He's going to answer our prayer, it's talking about the verse, may His the name of the Jacob protect you. And through the protection. And there's another another version. So I'm looking at different versions on the text. And it's when He put you in the right place. And where does His help coming from? If we look at verse 6, it says, He answers from His holy heaven with the saving power of His right hand. A lot of time, talking about right hand, talking about the power of God. He extending His hand, He reaching out to His people. He's a God that will answer prayer. He is a God that will protect and save. And this is the message for, you know, this psalm today. It's telling us that, yes, He's safe. A lot of time that that we look at text and say, okay, this is the message. He's safe. And how then it applies in our life. Again, I want to go back to that point about form and rituals. If we look everything on the surface, the things that we do is routine. But inside is different. There's a purpose for everything. And to really see beyond not just the form, not just the things happening, but keep having that dialogue and asking God. And having this whole psalm looking as the focus is in God. Sometimes in the surface, I notice like sometimes people bored, and in between, like people praying, we have our time, you know, even time for worship, and then with time for prophetic word, and people bored and they look, take out the battery and send a message and stuff like that. They really lost their focus on God. That's the whole point. Sometimes coming to surface is I'm taking receiving. I am taking the message of God. And some people come. I even heard people say, oh, Pastor Sam's not here. They don't come on that Sunday. They look for the message. And a lot of time is that it's not the messenger. They deliver nice message. It's not that it's not the music particularly good that they connected with God. But ultimately, it's you, your heart connected with God, whether your heart desire is 100% seeking God. Because when you do, you will truly experience that saving power of God. And it's not just the routine, it's not just the form. And the beauty is that it's not just one person, but it's the whole community. When I was looking at, you know, doing a research paper back in my seminary day, one of the topics I look at is like for people that they have this syndrome in Japan, where people actually stay in the house and not stepping out the house for more than 10 years. They, because of the pressure of the world, because they cannot survive in the world, or they try to escape for multiple various reasons. But they found that comfort zone because they usually in the middle class. They can afford, their parents afford, allow them to go continue living without, you know, without have to work and continue supply of food, and they live in the internet world. And I was looking at it and I was like, oh, how can I reach those people? And I was looking and searching, and I come to something very interesting on the internet is internet church. The first thing to me is like, oh, internet church. It's not the church, really, because no community. People just cannot handle the pressure of living within a community, the conflicts, the iron sharpening iron time, they cannot stand it. So, and the too many criticisms and things that, you know, they cannot tolerate. So in an internet church setting, it's like no one is have to be accountable to anyone. So they enjoy the present, I enjoy the worship, enjoy the message, and they can go. And they just, like a consumer, taking it and leave. But when I was doing my paper, it's like, oh, hang on. Certain things happen. Certain things exist. Does have its purposes. So I don't cut it off altogether. Hey, for those people who are living in the internet world, for those that who been escaping, there's no way that we can go and contact them. Those people don't talk to people, they do on the internet. But if we do have resources, we a certain form of church that exists on the internet, and particularly, you know, internet church that we're able to hold on, like, you know, connect with them, maybe it's the first step for them to come out from their shelf back into the community. So then I look at internet church, I don't look at it being so worthless, being a sense of escape. It may exist for a purpose too. God can turn curses into blessing. It's how you're going to use it. So it's how we live our life, how we take certain ritual and look through the form and go into that substance and truly living that out. Jesus come here not to cut out all the law. He come here to complete and tell us what is the meaning behind all this ritual, all this so-called legalistic things that are happening. For us, see beyond it. For us, you know, a lot of time people look at old hymns and say, oh, it's so boring. I used to think that too. It's like, it's so boring. And it's always the same melody. And sometimes our worship song too. But see beyond it. A lot of time and effort being spent in the lyric. A lot of time, old hymn actually have a very complete theology in it. If you sing all the stanzas, they talk about the salvation, how it began from sin and the completion and how God saved. It's like the whole teaching. Back in those days, people use music, worship to educate a congregation too, because not everyone have the literacy to read the Bible. And definitely hymns help us to build our faith. So hopefully next time when you go through the book of Psalms, you don't feel, oh, so boring, I don't know what is going on here. Just spend a little time, look at it, meditate. When we say meditate, not just like, you know, oh, what this verse mean for me, but also look through, try to use, like, it's also literature too. Look at the things that the book, yes, God have a special revelation for each one of you, but there's also a general message being preached in that particular psalm. So this morning, let us, you know, worship God with our songs and also, you know, carry with us that faithfulness of God that He always come and save us, and let us truly live, not just the form, but live truly experiencing His saving power. we worship God, you know, on Sunday service? Are we giving God 100%? Are we, you know, like all the other that people will criticize, are we going through the motions? If we do, we are no different for those people that, you know, follow the form. So let's spend a little time and just, you know, reflect on your life, your daily ritual, your routine in your life. Through all this, are you worshiping God? Through the thing that you do in, you know, your everyday life, are you that 100% looking towards God? You know, when a lot of time we rely on self and we work out solutions and in our workplace and stuff. I remember like story, you know, people tell me when they first come to faith, every little thing they go before God and God answer. God is so real because, you know what? Because they leave every little thing to God. And God's always in the pictures and they become so, the senses so become alert. And God's presence becomes so strong. Let's go beyond that routine that we do and start involving God in every little part, just like what the Psalm's doing today, telling us today. It's like God, He's the ultimate Savior. He's the ultimate King of Kings, and He's right at the top. He's not right at the King that's so separate from us, but He extends His right hand to come and save us, giving that life abundance that He promised us. Let us reflect a little bit. Today, prayer focus, Cambodia. Well, first of all, we give thanks for the Cambodian team coming back with a lot of praise report, a lot of amazing things they see, how God in action. So let's continue lift up Cambodia, praying that God will continue to manifest in various places like lift up Pastor O, his ministry in Cambodia, New Life Church, and Pastor Steng, the center of priests, the orphanage. Grace there is doing work, you know, for the ex, you know, woman, sex trafficking victims and the ministry that she's serving in Broome for rehabilitation, not rehabilitation, but replanting people back into the work, a life that they're worth living for. So let's continue lift up Cambodia and God in Cambodia. Also, leave a Philippine and Bhutan, the Solomon Clinic and Mr. Jiang ministry in Philippines and also Bhutan. SP actually helped to build a Bible school near in the Indian border, but for the Bhutan people. So let's continue to pray for these two countries too. Lift up SP Ministry, the IP team who come faithfully every Saturday praying for the church, praying for, you know, RS mission team and the, you know, the staff and everyone. They are the shield and praying. And let's pray that, you know, not just the IT team is praying for the church, but everyone in the congregation together as a community of faith. coming together to pray for the church. So pray that God will strengthen this team as they are the overseers and the seers for the church. And also pray for Cascade and the well who minister to people, both physical, emotion, and spiritual broken people. And pray for through them, that they be the blessing to many broken people and bringing them into whole. Finally, SP 1.5, I was told yesterday that the 10th floor was a floor going to be used as a Christian counseling center. Cascade was going to use it, and they're doing painting and renovation work. Really pray that the process will be very smooth, and really that this center be blessed to use to bless the community in Hong Kong. Like bless the people that it needs in the church, and also not just our church but other churches too. So let's lift up the counseling center, the renovation and the purpose that God helped ordain for that set for the center. God, we just thank you for being with us this morning. I just pray once again that your word that is in the Bible, in psalm or in worship songs and all this, you speak to us. And I pray, Father God, that every single of your word engraved in our heart, so when the time of distress come and when the time of need, this word come alive, we know that we can reach out to you, and you will come from the heavenly throne and reach out to us and save us. Father, that I just pray that my brothers and sisters here, that really energize their work, like we rejuvenate them, long day work, long week, but they are not tired and they're not weary, because you are carrying them on the eagle's wing, flying higher and higher, and they see a bigger picture, understanding your salvation plan, understanding your kindness and your loving kindness and your faithfulness, Lord. So really take care of my brother sister here, bless them, bless their feet and bless their hand, and may them be the blessing to many others, and through being an instrument to you, that they also experience you in a deeper way, in a most intimate way. Thank you, Father God. We love you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.